If you're trapped in a foxhole, would you go with a yoga posing frog or a hanging koala?
I don't know, but I feel like those are probably going to be our nicknames from now on. And I blame you for that fully.
Ross, you are correct. I can't go. I can't go anywhere with that.
Our band is going to be playing out at Beneduce Vineyards in Pittstown that weekend. We'll be out at Beneduce on Saturday, May 13th. And so that should be a good time.
Wait a month or two on rent, and my money's all but spent. That's all right.
Was the best player on the team, because even though one of his ankles wasn't as functional as the other one, he understood the strategy of the game miles better than anyone else. There's a lot you can get done when you just stick with things. When I was up at Hamilton College for undergrad, I think I had 4 final exams, 3 papers, a like research project, multiple presentations and classes all within 1 week. Thought I was never going to get it done, and then I finished it, and I've looked back on it multiple times since then and just kind of realized that sometimes you need to get pushed way beyond what you think you're capable of to realize what you actually are capable of.
Igniting, inspiring, and evoking the fire within. You're listening to the What's Your Inspiration podcast with Fox Spire.
Hello and welcome to episode number 11 of the What's Your Inspiration podcast. Today, I have a special guest on. He's a longtime friend. He's my brother. He's the guy trying to ride everybody's coattail. Just kidding. He's just the tall guy that paints. He's my brother, Mr. Stephen Whetstone. Stephen, how are you getting along?
Well, I'm doing a lot better now that I'm talking to you. You always make me smile.
Well, you know, I have that effect on people. I think they look at me and say, wow, compared to him, I'm doing really well.
Oh, no, that is not the case. I know better.
I know better. That's terrible. We can't start this way, but we'll get back on the right track. To get right into it, Stephen, you said to me, I asked you about books, and you said, Fox, I don't read. I'm a picture guy. Well, to me, I've known you since 1997. You've always been and always will be a picture guy. When did this all begin? When did your affinity for artistry, for painting, for drawing begin? Do you remember your first painting?
I do not remember my first painting. I think I remember second grade art class, and one of my things making it into the fair. I believe it was like a stork or a pelican or something. And it wasn't until later on in actually elementary school, we got a new art teacher, and she really sent me on in the right direction.
What was her name?
Melanie Ward. And most famous for Ward is actually Draw Backwards. And that was her claim to fame, other than being an amazing teacher. And then, you know, she's a true inspiration. To just kind of always knew that I liked art and wanted to do something with it.
That's awesome. So her name is Draw Backwards. So she was destined to teach art.
It was destiny.
Destiny. Wow. Now Stephen, just to give you a question, I don't ask too many trivia questions early in the podcast, but what do you call the word? Well, this is actually not. It's not a palindrome. I should go back on that. I was going to ask you, what is the word that is the same forwards and backwards like race car?
I just Bob.
Said, Bob. It's called a palindrome. But you know, Ward and Draw. That's obviously not a palindrome. So I'll go back at my grammar. But okay, so Miss Melanie Ward, and that's what, fourth grade?
Yeah, it was fourth, fifth grade, and you know, I've kept up with her. Ever since I've kept up with all my art teachers, actually, from elementary, middle school, and high school, and they'll come by my studio and even see me. We'll eat, we'll have lunch, and they've come to all my shows and been very supportive of my career. Just an amazing group of women that I've actually had, you know, at a young age, teach me art.
That's outstanding, and to just lead into that, I mean, what has it developed? You mentioned your own studio. What has this affinity for art developed into today? Tell us what you're up to.
Well, you know, Fox, a lot of lot of times in the art world, you'd rather be, you know, famous for just things that you really want to paint, just what really truly inspires you. But, and I do that when I have time, and I also paint to pay the bills. So I'm doing a bunch of commissions with portraits, landscapes such as like painting houses or dog portraits. But I really, my main money comes from actually doing what I love and painting what I like, and then selling that through, a seller.
It's not an easy thing to do. We talk about it all the time in life, and it comes up to me almost every single day. People have told me, and I try to tell others, do something in life that you enjoy doing. And you've been able to do that. I mean, from the moment I met you, and both Stephen and I are Gamecocks. That's right. Go Cox. We met at the University of South Carolina in 1997, and shortly thereafter, you know, I become friends with Coach Lake, Stuart Lake, on my first podcast, and he described to me a story, and he was one of your assistant baseball coaches at BC High School, Brooklyn Casey.
That's correct.
That's right. And he described to me your senior year of high school. You had one of your team managers or statisticians, and you drew a drawing of her, and he said it was just absolutely so real. And this is something I knew for a while, but just to give people a sense of this man's abilities, if you've read our book, Letter Kindling, I mean, he just puts everything to so much life. It is just amazing. Do you recall, obviously you recall doing that at BC High School, your senior year?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I recall that actual drawing, but I do recall, you know, on those long bus rides with, you know, it gets cold on the inside and you have all these sweaty guys and the windows fog up, and the guys would get me to draw on the window panes. So make the time go by faster.
Absolutely. Can you recall a day when you haven't drawn, haven't used your artistry?
I mean, there's some days that you take off, yeah. You know, and, you know, especially sometimes I feel like I'm just so bogged down, and I go in a lot of spurts. Like I'll paint a bunch or draw a bunch, mainly paint, but I'm just painting. And it's just like anything, you need that day off and you need to just get away from it. But in all reality, in the walks of life, every time I'm riding down the road, I'm looking at scenery, I'm looking at things, and I look at things as a painting. Like, that would make a great painting. I should come back and take a picture, or I should paint here, or those type of things. You know, art to me is, you know, just a reflection of your life and the images that you created in your own mind, and you just try to share your life, basically.
By doing that. I can't really connect my hands and my eyes, but I'll take your word for it.
Well, if I get too artsy-fartsy, stop me, okay?
No, I like it. I like it. Maybe I'll become artsy-fartsy just through osmosis, talking to you. I mean, who knows? Who knows? Well, if you don't know, Stephen and I have partnered up, and we've created this book called Letter Kindling. Stephen is my principal illustrator for the book. Just amazing. And whenever I go around and speak, the people that take our book really are not looking at the writing. They are amazed at the artistry. And I let them think for a second it's me, and then I say, well, no, a buddy of mine, Stephen Whetstone, did those. And I describe, is it gout style that you did all those in?
Yeah, well, you know,
gouache.
I always mispronounce it too because it's, you know, probably a French term, but I think it's gouache. And all it is it's like a watercolor, but it's a cross between a watercolor and acrylic. Watercolor is a little more transparent, and acrylic water-based paint is opaque. So it's a mix in between. But it's more like watercolor than anything. And it's fun to paint with, and I actually use it to do the portraits for the football team at USC, the Hall of Captains. Do you remember that hallway?
Yes.
And I've been doing those portraits for, I don't know, 12 years now. So those are always fun, too.
I wish painting could be fun for me, but I tell you what, we'll discuss a line later in the podcast where it just shows it's an absolute struggle for me. But it's just amazing. You just continue to me, to live the life that you love.
You know, I was actually talking about this yesterday, that sometimes I don't feel like I wake up enough and really am thankful and gratitude to be able to do something I love, you know. And there are those moments throughout the day that I'm, you know, very happy. But I think living is also a mindset that you just have to, you know, because I treat art like a job. Like I get to work at 8 in the morning, sometimes earlier, leave around 4 or 5, and then also teach class every now and then at a local art store. And so, you know, it's a full-time gig, and I try to treat it as such.
Yeah, you have to. You have to take it seriously. Like this, at the end of the day, you've got to live. You got to live, and to be able to do that, sometimes you have to do things that you have to do things that you want to do, and sometimes you lose sight of it. I get it. But as an outsider, I mean, I speak for all of us. We're in awe of your talent.
Thank you, Foxy. I'm in awe of your speaking talent.
Whatever that is. Question for you. As we've partnered up on my book, Letter Kindling, I can recall you saying to your wife, Jen, at some point in the process of doing all of the drawings, you said,
"Yes."
You said, "Jen, I am not drawing Fox. I'm drawing every man." Do you recall saying that?
I think I do recall saying that.
Okay.
I really
do. Okay. So again, I'm not drawing Fox. I'm drawing every man. My question to you, Stephen, is what do you feel are some common traits, features, and characteristics of every man?
Well, every man, well, everybody's really different, you know, with just observation, but with the everyday man, I wanted a sense where it could be anybody, but I also wanted those illustrations to have a true sense of yourself, too. And Fox, you are an everyday man, and I know that you don't realize it, but most of those, you know, have a little bit more of your body style, have a little bit more of your profile and head shape, and so you are the everyday man.
Am I slim, trim, good body or fat, round, bad body?
Slim, good, trim.
Slim, good, trim. Yes, you do put the glasses on there, and you really get my gait, my G-A-I-T in there, too.
And one of the things, you know, about art and a lot of things, like the eyes tell so much, right? So in art illustration, the guy pretty much always has glasses on, so you don't get a sense that it's somebody specifically. You get a sense that it is, you know, it could be possibly anybody. Because you don't even see the, you know, eyes, really.
You don't. Yeah, they're whited out.
Went back to the soul. There you go.
That's right. Okay. I must say, right now, I am picking up what you are putting down.
All right. I like it.
Right. Stephen, in the year 2000, okay, you illustrate, among other things, pitching on the baseball team, being a student at USC, you illustrated the Gamecock Baseball Media Guide. I can recall Coach Tanner telling you, Stephen, exaggerate a feature when you do these caricatures. Whom did you most enjoy drawing in the 2000 Gamecock Baseball Media Guide?
Well, since you just said Coach Tanner, I'll say a little bit of Coach Tanner because I gave him the Popeye forearms.
You did?
I remember I gave you the fox's tail.
Yes, you did.
And, you know, those were just special just because of the team and the camaraderie and just knowing the people that you're drawing. And, you know, you can look at a photograph, and if you really haven't seen that person or spent time with that person, it's harder to draw them. Like I know you, so I spent a lot of time with you back then, and it comes out better. You know what I'm saying?
Just it does.
From me to have that innate sense of observation from us just talking and me just looking at you through all the time.
Yeah, through observation. You gave me a tail. You gave Tim Whitaker a brick wall. You gave Coach Tillman big glasses. Coach Tanner, calves and forearms.
I think I gave Ernie Vasquez Bert.
You did.
Ernie.
You did. You gave big E.
The only one thing that I never want to be like kind of pigeonholed is just like a caricature artist, you know?
Right. And you're not. You're in no way are you that, but you chose to do caricatures in that particular media guide. But
that's right.
Artiste in many styles, shapes and varieties.
There you go.
So there it is. So on record, you're saying that you enjoyed drawing Coach Tanner the most.
Yeah, I'll go on record with that.
Go on record as saying that. And yes, as Steven's saying, that 2000 team that we were on, we'll remember that team for the rest of our lives. And you remember this. We are returning from LSU after beating them on a Sunday, right? And we go into Alex Box, and they have brooms everywhere and all the fans.
I know what you're about to say.
That's right. So why do you take the story from there?
I just remember it was just such a heated battle, losing some of those games. And there's saying that we're overrated. And if you've ever been in LSU's baseball stadium, they're right on top of you, and they are loud. And it gets under your skin. It really does. But I remember when we were riding by and they had those brooms out, and Coach Tanner gets up and starts banging on the window, "Where are those brooms now?"
And people.
Is that how you remember it? Or?
No, of course. I think about it all the time. So, yeah, we go into the stadium. We go into Alex Box that Sunday. They've got the brooms out saying that we're overrated. We end up beating them on a Sunday, and as I recall it, pulling out of the parking lot to go home back to Columbia, bus is pretty quiet. And then Coach Tanner gets up, which is very out of character for him, and starts banging on the windows and looks at them and says, "All the fans outside, where are the brooms now?" And it developed into a chant, "Calves and forearms."
I love it. Because that it was so very out of character with him, but it things like that make the team stronger, you know.
They do.
They bond you.
They do. We're able to bounce back from that and win 56 games that year.
That's right. That's amazing.
56 games and led the nation in wins. Proud to be a part of it. Proud to be a part of it with you, brother. Always. You better believe it. My goodness gracious. Steven, it is time for a game called What, Which, and Where. Are you ready?
What, Which, and Where. Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a line from maybe a song or a movie or a famous artiste of sorts, and you have to tell me who it was or where it came from.
I know I'm going to be bad, but let's go.
Oh, be more confident, sir. Be more confident. So here's the line. Let me see. What will I choose first? Here it goes. It reads, "I've had too many highs and too many lows, too many storms and tornadoes." Can I read it again? This is one of my favorite lines. "I've had too many highs and too many lows, too many storms and tornadoes."
Holy cow. I'm drawing a blank. But let me guess, all right?
And you're literally drawing a blank right now. I know you're not, because you wouldn't do that as an artist. You wouldn't draw a blank.
No, I'm just searching for...
I'm just being kidding. I'm kidding.
A funny response, but I don't even have one. Let's say... Dorothy, since we're talking about tornadoes, from The Wizard of Oz.
Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz. I love that movie. Black and white, 1939. I love that movie. Is that your final answer?
Yes, but I would rather phone a friend.
If you'd like to phone a friend right now and put him on speaker, I will gladly let you do that.
Let's not. Let's go ahead.
What's not. Got? That is actually from a song called Mr. Weatherman Hank Williams Jr.
Oh, I like it.
You talk about clay and dirt music. That's all about the clay and dirt. And if you could hear it, Stephen, I am going to play it here momentarily. I love this song. Right? We'll let it run. I love this song. Sing along if you want, people.
Mr. Weatherman.
That's good.
What is your forecast? Major change.
How good is this?
I love it.
Me too.
It gets you right in the mood.
It gets you right where you need to be. It does get you right. I mean, any of his music, please. Mr. Weatherman Hank Williams Jr., download it today.
It speaks to me.
It speaks to me and to all of us. Okay. Let's go to number two of What, Which, and Where, Stephen. Here we go.
All right.
Here we go. It's a quote about artistry.
Okay.
Here we go. And what about those...
Bob Ross.
Yes, of course.
I'm using Bob Ross already.
Bob Ross.
Happy Little Trees.
Happy Little Trees. Well, it's not that, but it's something. And it goes like this. And what about those who can't connect the hands and the eye? They picture a beach resort, yet they draw a pig-sty.
And that's from an artist. Draw a pig's eye?
Pig-sty, I'm sorry. I mispronounced my words. I'm sorry?
The quote rhymes.
It does. What does it remind you of?
Is it Pablo Picasso?
He was an awesome, awesome man.
Robert.
Say it again.
Robert Enra.
Unfortunately, I don't know who he was, maybe, or is. It is not Pablo Picasso, but I will say it again. Let's just read through this again.
Okay.
And what about those who can't connect the hands and the eye? They picture a beach resort, yet they draw a pigsty. It's a quote now.
I have no clue, but I think that's an awesome quote.
Yes. I'm so glad you think that, because, Stephen, that is a quote actually from our book, Letter Kindling.
Oh, my God, you fooled me.
So it's from a poem called Easy Right and Awful Wrong.
There you go.
So another one.
Material a lot better than I do.
That's quite okay. I'll say this. There's another line in the poem. It goes like this: some walk with no sweat and turn their steps into pirouettes, but some walk like they're not of this earth. When walking, their faces are like those of cows on astroturf.
You know what I find amazing? I find amazing just knowing you, Fox, and reading through your poems and really connecting with them more on a deeper, more personal level than I would if I were to just read them. And knowing everything that you've been through and just your amazing and wonderful life as well, although the struggles, but just knowing that you wrote it and connecting, just knowing the dots, those poems, they're a lot deeper than most people would ever even realize, I believe.
Yeah, you've spent a lot of time around me, and a lot more than you may have wanted to. See, you know me as, I mean, I'm the same guy that I was 15, 20 years ago. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. And I'm really a product of the people that I have been around. I've been coached enough to know, I'm smart enough to know that put yourself around good people. Put yourself around good people, and good things are more prone to happen. So Yeah, I'm around positive people most of the time, and that gives me a positive attitude. And I've also learned that humor can be a good weapon. And that poem, Easy Right, Awful Wrong, is just about me using some self-deprecating humor. Because you have to in life sometimes, because it can be difficult.
Absolutely. And I like what you just pointed out. I know that I filled out a little questionnaire, and I filled it out pretty quick, and you asked me who my heroes were, who I looked up to, and, you know, typically, and I think I said everybody I've really had contact with, like my teachers, my coaches, my friends, life is a lot of definitely who you surround yourself with, and definitely who you aim and try to be. And I always try to, you know, the people I look up to is not just probably one certain person, but I try to pick the best qualities that I see in everybody and just use those, you know, or they always come to mind when you need them. So that's a good quality in life.
I agree. Take the best of people that you see in people, make them your own. Talked about this with Stu on episode number one. You can learn from people too, even if it's what not to do.
Absolutely.
Amen. So we've gone through two of what, which, and where. Here comes number three.
All right, I'm ready for this one.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Here we go. Quote, I'm going to hit you so hard when you wake up, your clothes are going to be out of style.
That's got to be something like Anchorman or Joe Dirt. I don't know. That's from a movie, though, for sure.
It definitely is.
And I would say that when it would be in the 90s or, 2000s.
Okay. I like where you're going. Can I say it was not in the 90s or 2000s or 2010s?
It was in 2010s.
It was not in 2010s or 2000s or the 90s. Stephen, we're 6 years old, 7 years old at this time.
Clint Eastwood had to say it then.
Oh, I would love him.
Hard to do.
I don't know if I could say it in his voice. I'm going to hit you so hard when you wake up, your clothes are going to be out of style.
That's pretty good.
Okay. That's really good. Okay.
That is great. I'm definitely going with Clint Eastwood.
Well, that was me doing Clint Eastwood if he did this movie. It was not Clint Eastwood.
Well, I hate that I did not get one of these right.
Well,
hopefully I get one more shot.
That's quite okay. This last one was from Brand and the movie Goonies.
Oh man, I cannot believe that.
That's what
this is great. This is a wonderful movie, right?
It really was. I mean, and I went out and watched it right after you had written that, and I can't tell you how much I laughed.
That's one of the quotes that I would probably never even gotten from the Goonies. That one went over my head.
That's okay. Can you give somebody else, give someone listening a quote from the Goonies that you know?
You want me to do a quote?
One liner from Goonies.
It's our time. It's our time down here. It's their time. It's their time up there. That's when they're in the wishing well and they find the bucket. But yeah, I mean, I guess I could quote a few of them, but we'll leave it at that.
Fair enough. I mean, I'm giving you the floor. If you like to do another one, I'm totally okay with that.
Pinches of power. That was when the Asian kid, the pinches of power. But yeah, we'll just end it there.
We'll end it there. So you have survived. That's okay. You have survived what, which, and where.
Okay. Wonderful. So I can breathe now.
You can breathe. Stephen, now we were talking before we went on the podcast here. Last week, Stephen had sent me a couple of recordings that he did on the guitar. He's an artist of many sorts. He's told me he doesn't want to do any injustice to the music profession, but he's a man of many talents. And he sent me a recording of a couple of the poems in our book, put to some guitar and to some music. And I was wondering, Stephen, if you'd be willing to take out your axe right now and maybe play a song.
I will.
You will.
And you just, the kite right here, and then you just send the recording. Just play the recording.
Oh, I'm going to play the recording?
Yeah.
I'd love for you to do it live, but you're not willing to do it live?
I would love to, too, but I don't think...
You can remember it?
Yeah, I'm not going to... I wouldn't be... It took me, you know, a few takes to even pretty much get them right.
Might be easy to find talent, but it's so hard to spot confidence. The one who has the it, and that is toughness with abundance. Who are the ones when they wake up? It's not about their speed, power, agility, but their mental makeup that we marvel with such humility. Is it in his food? Is it in his food? Said, is it in his food? No, no, it's his attitude. Well, he's best when he feels his worst. Never does he moan, cry, or pout. Winning is his uncontrollable thirst, and about it he has no doubt. Well, he anties up when the chips are down. They got him one time and they were lucky. Impossible to it has no sound. The next time around he's so good he's money. Is it in his food? Is it in his food? Is it in his food? Oh no, it's his attitude. Trying to find a blemish, a dent in the armor. For 2 months straight, you see all his gains. For it is his consistency, you marvel. His performance not scattered, but exactly the same. So you found him with the sequential prototype. But you go into fits about so many that hadn't lived up to the hype. Is it in his food? Is it in his food? Oh no, it's not. It's all about his attitude.
He's, Stephen has come back with a brand new hat. The 1997 version of your South Carolina Gamecocks. So we'll stop it there. So again, people, that's what a little bit of what it should sound like. And Stephen with a brand new hat on. If you're watching the podcast, he looks like Al Capone.
You gotta be artsy fartsy sometimes.
You definitely do. You definitely do. I have a hat just like that. Little. What kind of hat would you call it? A fedora?
I believe so.
Not really.
I'm not a hat aficionado, but I think so.
But you do like hats. He displays it for the camera. So profiles. So that's a little bit of what the It Is the Attitude should have sounded like. Stephen sent me that about a week ago, and I told him I'm sitting on the edge of my bed crying as I'm hearing that. It's just not something that I expected, and it's very, very heartfelt. So I want to thank you again, Stephen.
Thank you, Fox.
Stephen, to wrap up, I've had a blast, as I always do with you. We did a little music. How do people, if they want to, get in touch with you?
Right now, pretty much social media, Instagram, Facebook, Stephen with a V, and then Whetstone, Whetstone. My website's always a work in process. Either it's up or down or changing something on it. So mainly just social media, or StephenWhetstoneArt@gmail.com. They can contact me.
Outstanding. Yeah. I highly recommend it, people. Highly recommend it. Stephen, it has been a blast. One last question. Who would you like to hear on an upcoming podcast?
I would really like to hear Kip Golden Spikes Award McKee Balknight.
Kip Golden Spikes Award McKee Balknight. I call him the governor.
Or A.K.A. the governor.
A.K.A. the governor. Kip McKee. That's an awesome suggestion. I've been trying for weeks to get him on. And, you know, we have conversations. I call him all the time. We talk all the time. It seems like he's a bit avoiding it, but he'd be awesome to have on. I am going to try until he gets on the podcast. You have my word.
Or you can do like Wade Boggs or, you know, Derek Jeter or somebody like that. That would be great too.
That's true. That's true. But our brother from another mother, I think Kip is the best choice.
That's true.
Well, I like it. Wade Anthony Boggs on the podcast.
That's great. That's middle name.
Yes, Wade Anthony. Well, Kip McKee Balknight. Wade Anthony Boggs. Who else did you mention? You mentioned Derek Sanderson Jeter. So we know all the middle names.
I like it. You're a true fan.
True fan. But Kip McKee is number one in our hearts. So we'll get the Kipper on here soon, and that will be another awesome conversation. Stephen, it's been a blast. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Foxy.
All right.
The man.
I am of sorts. One thing, I am a man. So that will wrap up episode number 11 of the What's Your Inspiration podcast. Stephen and I will talk at you all later. Take good care.
You have been listening to the What's Your Inspiration podcast with Fox Beyer. Because impact on each other is the greatest currency you could ever have.
Stretch yourself to the limit so much you can't take it. Whatever you're facing, it's in trouble. Everything you do, do it on the double. Go beyond the beyond. Go beyond the beyond. Find that extra gear, for in your mind, the finish line is clear. Ready, set, and on your mark. You have the keys and your double park. Go beyond the beyond. Go beyond the beyond. Pain, you will heal. Find your demons and toss them, your own fears. Ready yourself for the ultimate spectacle. Strap it on and create your own miracles. Go beyond the beyond. Be the best human you ever knew. A story that we can all aspire to. Go beyond the beyond. Go beyond the beyond.